Brother Shepherd.
Certainly appreciate the song leader and the effective way, again, he has led us in our singing. We're grateful to have this privilege to sing wonderful praises to Almighty God. That act of worship will be carried on into heaven. And certainly there will be no need to preach the gospel there. That's the saving message for mankind's soul today, but all will be saved once we get in heaven. We certainly have no need to remember the Lord's death, because he will have come back. God is beautiful bride. There will be no need to petition God's throne. We will be sitting around it. But we certainly acknowledge the fact of the tremendous prayer on tonight by the preacher. We appreciate that. Certainly won't be no need to give of our means as well, because that's the furtherance of God's cause here on this earth. But we will be singing, and singing is such a great, great importance in our worship in New Testament. A worship unto Almighty God. We express appreciation once again, especially to those that labored so diligently in providing the sumptuous meal that we had after morning worship. Thank you so very, very much. We've only covered, as we studied, this 23rd division of the book of Psalms. We started off on this morning just using the first 9 words of the 118 in this 6th verse, 118, called this 23rd division. And I caution you again, don't let familiarity cause you not to study with us in the fear of the judgment, of course, this 23rd division of the book of Psalms. We showed you in verse 1 how, if we're going to have the secret to a life of satisfaction, all the satisfaction for a thirsty soul, you're going to have to know the Lord's glorious sovereign. Using those 9 words where the Lord says, or David says, talking certainly on behalf of God, the Lord is, the Lord is my, the Lord is my shepherd. And David shows us how, as he take a script according to 1 Chronicles 11 and verse 2, out of his own life in 1 Samuel 16, of feeding the flock, how the shepherds would always lead. And we showed you an effective way how you must have God out in front of you leading you. Then David is going to show us on Wednesday night that his goodness and his mercy is certainly behind us all the days of our lives. And once we lead this life, we can go on and live eternally with him in heaven. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So not only do we have God's help out front, we have all of his help behind. And I'll show you on tomorrow night how that shepherd would go out into the field, into the woods, and he would cut a sapling. And he would take that sapling, and that sapling usually have a root on the bottom of it. And he'll fill that root with nails and glass and jagged pieces of a bone and all of that to make a weapon out of it. Then he would take and put it in some water that he might crook the top. And that's going to be his rod, and that's going to be his staff. When we talk about on tomorrow night how to be happy, how to be tickled to death to die. Yea, though, or even though those words are factuality. Yea, though I walk, or even though, I should correctly say, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I wonder why, David. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff. We got his help on the side of us. They comfort me. What a beautiful word, that word comfort. We'll show you on tomorrow night. So David says we got all of this help out front. We got all of this help behind us. We got all of this help on the side of us. If we don't make it to heaven, neighbor, it's nobody's fault but our own. We also showed you how this 23rd division, 6 verses, 118 words, it supplies every man's need. In verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd, he's all I want. So he supplies all of our needs. In verse number 2, he supplies even our social needs as well. And going on down through verse number 3, he supplies our spiritual needs. And that's what we want to look at on tonight. In verse number 3, as we have looked at verse number 2, now remember, if you were here on this morning, You see how verse number 2, those 16 words, how the psalmist would make his sheep lie down in pastures that are green. Then he would lead his sheep beside waters that are still. Now on tonight with verse number 3, there's an interesting word I want you to underscore. Notice what it says, he restoreth, that's our word tonight, he restoreth my soul. Then he's going to lead those sheep in the paths of righteousness. Notice, not for the sheep namesake, but for his namesake. Now I want to talk to you tonight about how to get right and how to stay right with Almighty God. And if you're not right with God, tonight is your night. You ought to get right. And if you are right with God, then neighbor, you need to stay right. We need to get ready. We need to stay ready that we might be ready when God Almighty sent his son to make his second advent. And so therefore, we need to recognize this word restore. It carries two basic thoughts or ideas. Now, because one of the things that are plaguing the church of our Lord, one of the things that are plaguing the family of God, one of the things that are plaguing the flock or the fold of God, is the high ratio of backsliding. You see, a backslider is a child of God. A backslider is not a non-member. In order to slide back, you have to first have made progress in order to digress. Let me ask you a question tonight. What does Jacob, David, Simon Peter, Michael Shepherd, and Wayne Hatcher, what do these men have in common? Can you think of anything? Jacob, David, Simon Peter, Michael Shepherd, Wayne Hatcher. I can tell you what we all have in common, friend. They were all and is men of God. All and does love God. All and have once upon a time gotten out of the fellowship of God. And they all was brought back into the fellowship of Almighty God. Why don't you add your name to that list tonight? It's in the nature of sheep to stray. We often sing the song, I've wandered far away from God, but now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod, but Lord, I'm coming home. So again, I appreciate the song leader and the song that he sung, the Lord is my shepherd. And it certainly can preach itself. But there are some things I want to point out to you on tonight. It's in the nature of a good shepherd to restore the sheep. David knew what it meant to be outside of the will of God in Psalms 51 and verse 12. David says, restore unto me, listen to it, how I read, the joy of my salvation. Salvation was all and is available to all men until the Lord comes back. David lost his joy. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't lose access to it, but he lost his joy. I want to look at it from two delightful dimensions tonight. This word restoreth. I want to look at the ministry of the shepherd. Then I want to look at the majesty and the mastery of the shepherd. When we think about this word restore, it carries two basic meanings. Sometimes it may mean an empty soul. Someone who has become weary. downtrodden. Things that happen to you because it's not your fault. Who plans to get cancer? Who plans to get Alzheimer's? But because we're sojourning and tabernacling on this time side of life. It's like when you go to your mailbox. You get a lot of mail. Some have your name on it. And then some just says occupant. And because you are here, and because of God's natural laws, and because of sin of yesteryear, sin that are continuing, there are things that we are in the very combat of our lives. Notice verse 3 with me again. Well, verse 3, David says, he restoreth my soul. When the issues of life has drained us, when we are just tired, when loneliness has disappeared, too tired to drag that body around, when you're dealing with an emptiness of the soul, we see the ministry of the shepherd is to restore, is to revitalize. He restoreth that exhausted, weary soul. That's what David is telling us on tonight. Then this word also carries the idea when he says in verse 3, he restoreth my soul, that a sheep needs to be restored. When the sheep become cast. Turn your testaments to Psalms 42. In the 42nd division of the book of Psalms, let me show you what it means to a sheep when it becomes cast. Notice with me, please, in verse number 5. In Psalms, the 42nd division. Why art thou cast down, oh my soul? This is the language we are concerned with tonight. And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet raise him for the help of his countenance. Brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, when a sheep become cast, he is heavy with wool, and there, after having made to lie down, sometimes that body weight shifts because he's heavy with wool. And now the sheep sometimes would roll over, gets down on his back. And when the sheep rolls over on its back, heavy with wool, the sheep cannot get up again by itself. And the sheep would just lie there and just kick and kick and kick and kick and kick. And would literally kick all the life out of him. And if the shepherd does not restore that sheep, the sheep is either going to die or some animal of prey will come there and kill that sheep. This word carries the idea that to become depressed on one's back. It means to sink low as to not get up again. This Hebrew word, restore, there. And if the shepherd does not reach the sheep in time. So the shepherd, good shepherd, he spots that sheep heavy with wool. And when the shepherd gets to the sheep, the shepherd just does, he does not immediately take the sheep and put it on his feet. I wonder why. Many of us, at our age, Christians, We can relate to that. Even at the closing prayer. You sit there for 45 minutes. And while you're sitting there, your legs have gone to amen. You don't just jump up and start walking. You'll break a leg like that. And so what we see our ancient Christians start rubbing that leg. I wonder why. To get that blood circulating again. And so that's what a good shepherd does. He does not immediately stand the sheep up. He massages the sheep. We'll be on the all on a Tuesday night. He massages that sheep. And then once that sheep, over a period of minutes, massaging and getting that blood circulating again, now he puts the sheep back up on his feet, and then the sheep is now restored. Back to that verse number 3. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. Also, this word restoreth, it talks about how the sheep or a sheep just keep wandering and wandering and wandering from the sheepfold. And a good shepherd knows there's all kinds of dangers out there for the sheep. Gullies, gopher holes, ravines, bugs, all of those things. And the sheep just keep wandering away after a period of time. The rod and the staff have to come into play. And as the shepherd would track continuously, that sheep that just continuously meander away from the fold, wandering away from the shepherd, wandering away from the flock, that shepherd would take that staff and break that sheep's leg. And as he break that sheep's leg, he would put that splint on that leg to teach that sheep to stop wandering. Psalms 119, 67 and 72. David said it so admirably, speaking on behalf of God. Before I went away, I was astray. I was afflicted. It is good that I was afflicted, that thou might learn thy statutes. To be cast down is to be on one's back. Sometimes God has to put some of us on our back just to get us to look up. That's the word restoreth. He restoreth my soul. Now notice something else that he says in Psalms 23. In Psalms 23, dealing with these 16 words, he says something else. He says, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Notice what he says, not for the sheep's name's sake, but for his name's sake. Now we've moving to the mastery of the shepherd. Remember, in verse 2, having made may lie down in green pastures and by waters that are still. If you have restoration now, without following in the paths of righteousness, you're going to end up in the same position. So many times sheep comes forward, want to be restored. I've sinned, brought shame on God's people. Ask the church to forgive me. Pray with me and pray for me. So many times we see that in many of our congregations at the morning service. I'm weak. need to be strengthened. And in a matter of 3 or 4 hours, we're not back studying the theme that needs to keep us strong. Restoration is no good if it's not following in the path of righteousness. You notice how God supplies all of our needs because we cease to want? Verse number 1. You notice how God supplies every social need, our recreational needs, because he makes me lie down. You notice how he leads me beside still waters. Now he supplies all of my spiritual needs because he restores my soul. But then we are at the path of righteousness. So he supplies my directional needs as well. Notice a little quickly the mastery of the shepherd. Look at verse 3 again. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Why should we master our lives? For his name's sake. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31. God did not make you for you. Our behavior as sheep, we put the reputation of the shepherd on the line. You have to be very, very careful. You know, when we were growing up, we asked my parents, could we go here, go there? I can remember my father, Michael, do you know how to act? That's all he has to say. There's no need to say anything else. You need to know who you are and whose you are. You know why, friend? Because mom and daddy had a reputation in the community. And mom and daddy was not going to allow us to go over to the schools, rip and run down in the community, or go nowhere and tear down their name that it took them 60 years to build up. No, sir, no, ma'am. For his name's sake, we need to remember who we are and whose we are. We have the shepherd's name on the line, even those that have delegated authority here. Live right for his name's sake. Love right for his name's sake. Treat one another right for his name's sake. You know, when we're dealing with GPS and so many other navigational systems, those systems, they are unique gadgets. You're getting ready to go somewhere, even in your garage. You're typing in. You're getting ready to go. That thing starts talking to you. Hag out. Turn left. Turn right. Five, even to the feet. But you know, I've tried this when I first got it. I said, I'm going to try to trick this thing. You know, it's fun. And it tells you to go to exit 30. I said, okay, I'm not going to turn to exit 30. It's my car. I'm not going to allow a little old bitty box to tell me what to do. And so you know what I do? I pass exit 30. And that data on that screen that I've typed in, it go completely blank. Because I'm in disobedience to this right here. And after a few seconds, data pops back up on the screen. And you know what that lady says? You know, recalculating or rerouting. In disobedience to what I've typed in, I want to go my own way. I want to do my own thing. I'm not going to follow the path of righteousness that GPS, MapQuest, computer, or whatever we use. So I'm now going to be rerouted. I could have been at my destination 30, 40, 50 miles ago. This is what the Bible called grace. But now that thing reroutes me even in I have been disobedient to what it says. For his name's sake, so it is with you and so it is with me. You may have been disobedient to the heavenly calling. But God has a route that you can come back tonight for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul and he leads us in the paths of righteousness. The good shepherd's name is on the line. I wonder, can you respond to those 16 words tonight that's in verse number 3? I wonder, can you respond to them? Have you wandered far away from God? And now you want to come back home? The plan is so very, very simple. If you're a Christian, you come back to repentance and confession and prayer. That's God's plan. When heaven's door stands ajar for the erring child of God to come back home, he has to repent. Certainly he acknowledges that it's wrong, but you must repent. And I don't care how difficult it is, there's a process and there's a procedure to keep you walking the road of true repentance. Why won't you come while we stand and sing? Oh, dude.